Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for all the wonderful things that you do. They're so marvelous. They're stupendous. And we thank you for them. Praise God. We thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord, you'll be with us tonight. We pray what is said will be helpful. It will add Christ to us. Bless the young people. Bless us here in this place, Lord. We need your help. We need your help. And we ask for it. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're in Revelation 22. You say, well, he didn't pray. Well, yes, I did. Never come in here without praying. So if the Lord wants us to think about this, we will think about it. Hopefully. Now, I told you this morning about three ages. What are they?
Church ages.
Church age is one.
Kingdom age
is two.
Eternal
age is three. Now, in Revelation 22, which of the three ages is that?
Third.
That's the third, the eternal age. All right. So now here's the question. Since so little is in the Bible about the second age, the kingdom age, what is its purpose? Yes, it's a time, that 1,000 years is a time of preparation. And what characterizes it? Do you remember? I told you this morning what characterizes that second age.
The rod of iron.
And so evidently there'll be a lot of... All right, here's another question. Why the rod of iron? Why isn't it nice and peaceful, like everyone says the millennium is a time of peace? Why is it going to be where... In fact, Lloyd, the second psalm toward the end is an interesting psalm, passage, for those who believe that Jesus is all love. And Jesus is certainly love. I'm the first one to say that. All right. Let's see. What's verse 8 say? All right. 9, 10, 11, and 12. Okay, read with me. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Now, isn't that nice? All right, verse 10. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. This is our dear Jesus in the sheet and the sandals. 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Now, does that change your picture of Jesus?
I don't know. I had so much to eat for supper, I can't think. Everything I eat goes to my stomach.
You always pictured Jesus like this? Now tell me, why is the kingdom age going to be characterized by this iron, this dashing to pieces, and this fear and this trembling? Why?
Because this age is characterized by rebellion.
Yes, and that's as good as you can put it. All right, now just picture this. Just picture this in your mind. All right, we studied Joel 2, right? Okay. First, I said there'd be a vanguard of children. Now, I'm telling you what I really believe. A vanguard of children with their Bibles. And they will fight on the plain of Megiddo. That's what they call the Battle of Armageddon. Okay, so that's done. I mean, Antichrist has been defeated. The psychics that are there are screaming because of their headaches, because of the presence of the Father. The planes are turning around and sinking in the Mediterranean Sea. The tanks are turning around going to the sea. Those with flamethrowers are having the flames back in their face. Those that are trying to shoot the children with rifles, they don't work. In other words, God intervenes, and the result is that Antichrist's army is defeated. Totally defeated. All right. Now, before this was the first resurrection. So all these children now who have come from the spirit world now have bodies. Okay. So they don't want to stay here. So they go back into the spirit realm. See, you can be in the spirit realm with a body. Did you know that? Did you know Jesus has a body? You can be in the spirit realm with a body. Yeah, Jesus is there with a body. Elijah's there with a body. Enoch's there with a body. Oh, yeah. So they're not ready for the earth. So back they go into the spirit realm. But now comes the conquering saints, the overcomers. And they go through the earth like a giant threshing machine, destroying all the institutions of civilization. And driving, of course, Satan's already chained in the pit, but they're driving wicked people and wicked spirits into spiritual places of confinement in the spirit world and cleansing the earth and wiping out the artifacts of civilization, because God is disgusted because we have put things ahead of people. We have put things ahead of people. And you read the paper, you'll see that the things are ahead of people. Everything's on money and power and everything and what's happening, you know. So 60 insurgents are killed. Oh, hooray! These are 60 people with families and children and everything. You say, well, they deserved it. I'm not saying they don't. I'm telling you, the world is screwed up. Our values are wrong. We're not valuing human beings. We're valuing things, money, power, geography. And God is disgusted. He told me the other day, he said, America's come up as a stink. And that's the word he used, stink. Just reminded me of Sodom, where it says it's come up before me. He says, America's come up before me and it's a stink. Well, do that as you will. But anyway, here come, and you can read it in Joel, as these the children have gone back into the spirit world where they're happy, where they were trained. And now the conquering saints come. You read it in Joel's army. The land is as Eden before them, and behind them a flaming wilderness. So they leave nothing. They go through the whole earth and destroy the thoroughfares of the cars, everything that is reminiscent of civilization. Meanwhile, setting aside the people that are going to be saved to live on the earth during the kingdom age. Okay. Now you have your kingdom age. You have Christ ruling in Jerusalem with his rulers and his kings that he sends out to the parts of the earth. And you have all these people who God deems as being candidates for the eternal age. And this will be a lot of people that were driven, a lot of church people driven right into the spirit world to be taught, where many church people are being taught right now. Being taught right now. Okay, now picture it. Here's all these people being driven into the spirit realm. Now, there's no Satan to harass them. There's no demons to harass them. They have no sinful nature because it was left with their body in the grave. What's the problem? What problem causes this iron scepter, this dashing them to pieces? Because these people here are being dashed, are the Lord's inheritance. You see, in the 8th verse, I will make the nations your inheritance. How many see that? You don't see it. You do see it. All right. Then he says, you will rule them with an iron scepter. Who is them? So he's going to smash his inheritance to pieces. According to this. Why? There's no Satan to harass them. He's in the bottomless pit. Imagine he has to hang on the side because there's no bottom. All right. The false prophet, the spirit of religious delusion that's in the church today and the charismatic move, that's been thrown where? Lake of Fire. Revelation 19. No, 20 years. All right. Where's Antichrist? And where did I just tell you all the demons are?
Bottomless pit.
No, that's reserved for Satan. They have been driven. Now, just picture it. Here comes Joel's army, you know, and people say these are grasshoppers. It says the Lord utters his voice before his army, Joel 2:11. He's going to utter his voice before grasshoppers? These are people. It says a great army. There's never been the like before. That's the victorious saints. And they go through the earth, and the Spirit of God is on them. And they can see a person, and the Spirit says, they have three commands. What is it? I remember them. One is save, one is send, and I think the other one is hell. And they go through the, and see, Joel's army, they don't hit anybody. They don't fight. They don't have swords. What do? Judge. All they do is judge. God is preparing us to judge. Who does the destroying? The Marines, right? Who?
Angels.
The angels. The angels. Michael and his angels. You've got two armies. You've got an army of judges and you've got an army of angels. It's the army of angels that do the fighting. They have swords. They're strong, big, powerful. And so here comes some guy who was an overcoming saint. All right, so he's raised and the Lord comes. And now the Lord says, I want you to go out to, through the earth and I want you to destroy the civilization because it stinks. So here they go. All right, here's somebody ahead of them. Maybe they go and they hit a pool hall. All right, the Lord says, and so the people begin to hide under the pool tables and everything else because these people are shining like 1,000-watt bulbs. So they come in. You read about it in Joel 2, it'll tell you the whole thing. So they come in, and the judge, he looks, and the Spirit says, send. So he says, send. So one of the angels puts that person, we would see him die, but his spirit goes into the spirit realm to be taught. Don't look at me like that. All right, and then another guy's huddled in the corner and his knees are knocking, and the Spirit says, save. So the angels put him aside in a safe place to stay on the earth to be ruled over by the saints. And they come, and there's a third guy's behaving arrogantly and everything, and the Spirit says, hell. And so the angels drive him into hell. That's what's going to happen. As I stand here, that's what's going to happen. That's how God's going to put an end to what's going on. And then they'll go and the Spirit will say, I want that network of overpasses. I want it destroyed. I want these institutions destroyed. I want the land like it should be with simple mom and pop stores, simple people, no cars, no electricity, no need for money, nothing. Just simple people living in love and learning how to love one another. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen during the 1,000 years. Then, at the end, can you believe this? At the end, after all this instruction and teaching and smashing and everything, and they finally bring peace, and then God lets Satan out of the bottomless pit. And that spirit of rebellion is so strong. It emerges and they come up and they surround the camp of the saints and fire comes down from God and destroys them. And that's the end of the world as we know it. The heaven and earth, it says, will flee from the face of Christ. That's Lloyd, that's Revelation chapter 20 about verse 11. The heaven and earth that we know shall go. That'll be the end of the Adamic race. And then the dead will be raised. And death and hell will be thrown into the lake of fire. But you have all these people that made it through here. That were saved through there. And then God brings in a new sky and a new earth. And then these people inhabit it. But the church is in heaven. In its final preparation, because all these Christians that never cut the mustard, they're up there being taught, and they'll finally be ready at the end. So there'll be instruction on the earth and in the heavens at the same time. And then what happens is Revelation 21. The church comes down on the new earth. Here's all these people waiting for God's saints to love them and teach them. That's the transition from the kingdom age to the eternal age. Did you find it there where it flees from the face of Christ? It's Revelation 20, verse 11. See, the earth and sky fled from his presence. The earth, this earth, and the sky, bing, and that's the end of it. Because man has ruined it with his rebellion against God. Even today, as I talk to you, I'll bet you there's some in this room that will have a struggle whether you're going to do God's will or your own. Right now, here in this room, with us, you're debating, do I dare do God's will? Do I dare turn my life? Do I dare let my head be cut off and put on the head of the mind of Christ? Do I dare do that? It's a big challenge, and there's few people that make it. There's few Christians that make it. The world isn't even challenged. The world isn't being challenged by anything. It's the Christians that are challenged today. Will you let me in and govern your life or not? Well, I've made my decision. I've made mine. I don't want to fool with it. I see the world is in a stinking mess. I see that, and I read about children being exploited, and I read the rest of the things that are going on, which are beyond belief. Beyond belief! I'm writing a book about something anyway, and in part of it, I needed to know how Russian young men were dressed. I need to know that. Well, if you want to know anything in the world, Google it. So I went up to Google and I said, Russian young men dress. That's how you do things on Google. You put in what you want. And you won't believe me. You know what came up? A bunch of pictures of Russian young men naked, doing filthy things. This is what came up when I'm searching Russian young men clothes. That's how pervasive it is. I was looking up something in Escondido. I forget what it was, but it had nothing to do with women or anything, whatever. And here comes this filthy picture of a woman. Filthy, and it says, this person lives in Escondido. I'm telling you, it's past redemption. And the world doesn't have diddly. They have no idea what's going on. Only the church. And the church is asleep for the most part. It's all occupied with temporary things and in their families and whatever, and they don't realize the conflict of the ages. God is ready to put an end to it. Well, all right, so what does this mean to you and me? It means that we get out of the valley of decision and tell the Lord once and for all, I'm going to do your will. I don't care what goes on. I am not going to rebel against God. I'm not going to try to live my own life. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to cut off my head so that I can have the mind of Christ and do what he says and think what he thinks and just trust him that he'll bring me to love, joy, and peace. So it's absolute trust in Christ to do what he said. You know what the Bible says in Revelation? And Lord, I think it's chapter 16, but I'm not sure. Listen. It says, blessed are those who die in the Lord from henceforth. You know what that means? That means from the time that Antichrist and the false prophet arise, that's what it says, henceforth, the only people who are going to be able to bear fruit and bear witness for Christ are those who die in the Lord. And by dying in the Lord, just what I said, You abandon your own life to live the life of Christ. Because Jesus said, the hour is coming when no man can work. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And I've been telling you for 31 years, the temptation is going to be so great, we will not be able to resist it. 31 years. It's increasing. The pornography is such that pastors in their congregations are falling because they cannot resist that. They're not able. See, we're getting to the place where we won't be able to say no to sin. And in order to do so, you'll have to die in the Lord. There's no middle ground. Everybody that's in the middle ground is swept away. You've got to make up your mind. And I hope everyone in the room has. So, that's the scenario for the end time. And what you want and what I want is what Paul said in Philippians, the third chapter, to attain to the resurrection which is out from among the dead. If you do that, you've got it made, because you then, like it says, the second death has no authority over them. You cannot be hurt by anything. You've made it. You've made it. And you will rule the rest. And by rule, I don't mean knocking them around. But the reason for the rod of iron is because... Now look, I told you, I believe God's going to set up some kind of a school. I'm calling it Zion University, all right? Because that way I can think and picture it and everything. All right, you go to school in Zion University. What's the first thing that they teach you? To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And competition is over. We don't compete with each other. We help one another. We love one another. We bless one another. And money will not be the medium of exchange. Well, if money is not the medium of exchange, there are no rich and poor people. How can there be rich and poor people if we love our neighbor as ourselves and we've got more than he does? What do? Share. So our whole way of thinking changes. But don't you know there's going to be people in the class that are sitting there saying, yeah, when cows fly, we'll do that. And the Spirit will tell the teacher, so-and-so, you know, no matter what nationality is, Japanese, American, Russian, Pakistani, say, that man needs training in a harsher environment. He's not buying what you're selling. And then the angels go to do a deal with him and say, sir, you must come with us because you'll have to find out that these things are going to be enforced. You know what he's going to say? Get out of here. You're not telling me what to do. That's the people in America. That's their attitude. You're not going to tell me what to do. If I want to get rich and use money, that's my business. That's not nothing to do with the government. That's why the rule of the rod of iron. See, the angel will say, we're sorry, sir. And so they'll drag him kicking and screaming and putting him in a place to where he gets the message, I have to do what's right or I am going to have a miserable time. You see, the idea is to save people from hell, if at all possible. Hopefully they'll change. That's why the rule of the rod of iron. That's what's going to go on for this period called 1,000 years, whether literal or symbolic. Because the new Jerusalem can't come down into a new earth until the people have been made ready. All right, let's say the church people of today. Okay. And some people get saved. They've been saved for a week, we'll say. Okay, they're all raptured and they go up into the spirit world. What's it going to be like? They're going to bring all their values, their self-will, their love of preeminence, showing off, others so meek and shy they don't know what they're supposed to. One grand mess. That's what would happen today if the people, everybody's talking about heaven and going there, Lloyd. They say they want to go to heaven. They don't want to go to heaven. These people get saved. They don't want to go to heaven. Heaven's the last place they'd want to go. They want to do their own way, and you don't do that in heaven. They're kidding themselves. You know what they want? They want to escape hell. They're not interested in heaven. They're interested in escaping hell. I don't want to go in the fire. Well, anybody with any brains would know that. But if they want to go up there where people are all their time loving each other and singing hymns and worshiping God, you think the average church member wants to live like that? Be all right if he can at the same time listen to the Super Bowl with his earphones. That's not his idea of heaven. His idea of heaven is to escape hell, go to a place where he can do whatever he wants to, eat candy without getting fat and so on. That's how the average church member thinks of salvation. I'm going to go to a place, no more responsibilities. I can do whatever I please. I can continue with the way I am. That's how they picture it. All I have to do is say Jesus. Well, can you see how utterly impractical that is? Would you want to go into such a heaven where everybody's the same as they are here? You've got splits and people over in this saying, well, we're better than you and we belong to this church and we don't like the preacher and blah, blah, blah. You want to go to that kind of a place? You're better off in the woods. We have to be changed. And that's why the rule of the rod of iron. That's why that second period is in there. People are not ready today to go into this described where the Holy Spirit is running down in a stream. You can have as much as you want. And there's no night because you don't need sleep because everybody's full of eternal energy. They're not ready for that. They would bring all their stuff with them. I'd need 10 million Dianes working with everybody. But God is going to do it according to the Bible. That's what we just read. He will govern with a rod of iron. You have to straighten up. You don't have any choice. Imagine American people telling them you don't have any choice. What was I reading today? Somebody, it was about Australia. And the Prime Minister of Australia is, there's among the Aborigines. Do you know what the Aborigines of Australia are? They're the original natives. And they have their native religions, and they blow on that long horn and make all the strange noises and everything. The Aborigines, they're probably the most backward people on earth, except possibly some tribes along the Congo. So, what's his name? His name slips me. The Prime Minister of Australia, Howard. So what he's hearing is that there's child molestation among the Aborigines. It's coming to the Prime Minister of Australia. So the people are saying it's because they don't have jobs, it's because they're on liquor, and they're drinking and all. So he's going to put out a law, no more child molestation. See? You know what the leaders of the Aborigines told him? You're paternalistic, you're coming against the rights of the people. Now that I read in the paper yesterday, that isn't a long time ago. The rights of the people. You're paternalistic. You're trying to tell us, the government is trying to tell us, we can't molest our children. That is what God is facing with mankind. That's why the 1,000 years kingdom age. That's why the rule of the rod of iron. And see, your role and my role is to govern and to enforce the moral laws of God. If that's the case, and it certainly is, what then must be true of us? Huh? Exactly. We can't tell people they're doing something wrong if we're doing it ourselves. Say to them, oh, you must all love one another and not be competitive and we're joined together. And here it reminds me of the communists. See, the communists came out with this philosophy, to each according to his need. See, to each, that was their slogan, to each according to his need. No more capitalism, no more big entrepreneurs, no more fat Western businessmen, to each according to his need. So you know what happened? The money traded hands. The communist bosses are all living in luxury, and the peons go on starving. They just change the money from the capitalists to the communists. I know that guy, the communist leader of East Germany. He had a big stash piled up somewhere, Switzerland or somewhere. See, man can't do that. He's not able. The philosophy was correct. That's the way it will be in the kingdom, to each according to his need. You do what you enjoy, and you give freely to anyone who needs what you have to produce. And they in turn give. And so the whole thing is one of giving. Giving. Love your neighbor as yourself. If he's poor, then you share. See how different that is? But isn't it true that our unwillingness to share and to be competitive has produced the kind of a world we're living in? Isn't it? And so the communists had the right idea, but their sinful nature prevented it from being operative. And so the peons stayed poor, and all the big shot communist leaders rode down the middle of the street in these big black Cadillacs, and everybody has to get out of the way because it's so ridiculous that it would be funny if it wasn't for the fact that you still have old ladies sweeping the snow off the streets in the winter while the communist bosses are out in their dashes, or however you pronounce that, living high on the hog. But the Russian peasant, his life hasn't improved at all. Well, it's improved in some ways in that they're not being murdered like they were under Stalin. But. All right. Any question about what I said so far? Do you see the three ages? We're in the church age. Not the evangelistic age. The church age. The purpose is to call out people that can. God will work with them until they're in the image of Christ. That's the purpose of it. The world will come to Christ when he comes. That's what it says in Isaiah. Arise, shine, thy light has come. They come from all over the world to see the light of God. But there'll be no light if there's no Christians who God has brought to perfection. And he can do it. All we've got to do is be willing. He'll bring us to perfection. We don't have to do it. He will do it if we obey him every day. But that's the tough thing, because we want to live our own lives. That's what's so hard. Are you ready to give your life? He gave his life for you. Are you ready to give your life for him? That's a question. Greater love than this has no man. Okay. Yeah.
I have a question. You said something earlier about a vanguard of children with a Bible underneath their arms.
Yes.
When are they coming? Are they coming?
See, the sequence of events is the trumpet sounds, those who are in Christ, in the spirit world, come down to the level of the clouds. And there they stop, and Jesus stops with the war stallions. See, because they come on stallions. They come on stallions. And you see that in Revelation 19. And then the people that have come with him, children and adults. See, the adults don't come in at the beginning. It's the children are the vanguard. But they all come down and get their bodies. And then they have a time of fellowship and kind of get accustomed to the fact that they've got a body again. You know, that takes a little doing. Woo, you know. Because some of these children that will be coming. See, I'm concerned about the children because there's so many millions of children that have been aborted or have been thrown into dumpsters and other things that their parents do when they're inconvenienced. And see, I'm interested in those children. They have no father. And that's what I have in mind. That's where the army will come from, is these children will be raised and trained in the ways of the Lord, because they'll have no parents looking for them when the parents die, because they've been discarded children. So they go into the spirit world with no parents, you see. Yes.
Here in the first resurrection?
Yes, they will participate in it. They will participate in it. They will be raised and then go up because they have their little stallions. You know, I'm not sound crazy, but this is the way my mind is all the time. In fact, I'm writing a book about what I can't say I'm seeing it, but it's very real to me. And they go up with Jesus, and you've got three classes of people there. You've got Michael and his army, and then you've got the army of overcoming saints, and then you have the army of the innocent children. All of them are in bodies now. They're all in bodies. And then as soon as it's all assembled and they're mounted, then you have a cavalry charge. In the meanwhile, Antichrist understands from his psychics that the Lord's returning, so he marshals his forces on a great plain, a historic battle plain called the Plain of Megiddo, where many battles have been fought there. It's a traditional battleground. Sometimes it's called Har Megiddon. And they'll be lined up. Their battle lines will be drawn. Airplanes, tanks, tactical nuclear flamethrowers, the whole works. And in the meanwhile, the riverbed of the Euphrates has been dried up. The Bible says it's dried up. The whole Euphrates River dries up and leaves this tremendous, perfect place for a cavalry to land. Bible doesn't say why it dries up, just says it dries up. And then it says the kings come from the east. See, that means from the rising of the sun. And I pictured them, I always pictured them as men of war, like the Spartans. But I think I've been incorrect in that. I think it'll be children. Because the most fearful thing in the creation is a little child, an innocent child with their Bible, because the Father is with them. See, not only angels, but the Father's with them. And I don't care whether you're talking about Antichrist, the false prophet, Satan, the whole gang. They're not afraid of Christians, but they are afraid of the Father. And so these little children in their innocency will be the ones that God lets judge Antichrist. Just tell the soldiers that are lined up there what you're doing is wrong. And then the angels will take over. And once that's done, these children, as I picture them, will not want to stay in the earth. That's not their home. They've been trained and raised in the spirit realm by Christ because they have no father. They have no parents who will come looking for them when the parents die. They've been discarded. And God loves them. And so that's the kind of people, as I see it, that He chooses. And I personally would like to be a father to many of those children so they'll have a dad. Every child wants a dad, and they'll have a dad. You're looking at him. I like that thought. That pleases me. Whether it happens or not, we'll have to see. But it pleases me very much to think about these little darlings that have been thrown out like so much garbage. And so then they'll go back into the spirit world. They'll be in their bodies and go back with where they're familiar with, where they've been trained on their training grounds. And then the next move will be Christ reigning in Jerusalem and sending out his army. See? The army then will go through the earth and purge it of uncleanness. When that's done, then they will return and Christ will be reigning in Jerusalem and send out his kings and other leaders and instructors to govern the earth. And this period of time will be absolutely necessary before people are ready for the new heaven and the new earth. You can't go from where we are now to anything like the new earth where there's no light except the light of Christ. I mean, everything that we're familiar with is gone. So what Revelation is telling us about is not, it doesn't tell us about much, but what it tells us is what we need to know to prepare ourselves for eternity with God. See, because it's not like we pictured in our mythology, or wandering around with harps. This is the end game. This is what is going to happen. That's why Revelation is bound with a curse. That if you add to this, God will add to you the plagues. If you remove anything from this book. See, no other book is covered with a curse like that. Because God is saying, because he knew in the end time we'd have all kind of fancy ideas. And he's saying, this is what's going to happen. This is what I want. You see that? So set your sights on that. But in the meanwhile, remember that God wants you to be a ruling priest, someone who will govern with him, because there will be all these people that don't know diddly about God or his ways. That's why it says in Isaiah 2 that let us go up and he will teach us his ways. Because they don't know his ways. And they're going to want to know them. And that's in Isaiah 60. They'll come from everywhere because of the light of God. Because the wickedness will be out of the earth, and the earth will be filled with the Spirit of God. So that the average person will know what he's supposed to do, because the Spirit of God will be telling him. The farmer will know how to farm. And the teacher will know how to teach, because the Spirit of God, it says, shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So the average person will be able to hear the voice of God just like we can if we really concentrate on it. Everyone will be able to hear the Spirit of God. God's going to take over the earth. If that isn't good news, I never heard it. You'll find many times in Psalms it says, praise the Lord because he's come to judge the earth. We're close to that. But you see, the reason for the church age, now the first age, is because otherwise Christ would have to do it alone. And he wants a whole company of people that he has transformed into his image, who are absolutely obedient to God, who can work with him to bring in the new world of righteousness. That's where you and I are. That's right where we are. And so we're just like anybody else. We look around and we say, well, this is all pie in the sky, and a bird in the hand's worth two in the bush, so I better make the best of it with the things I see. But you see, if God has put in your heart to be one of his ruling priests, you'll never be content with that. You'll always be on edge because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You may get all the money you want, the kind of house you want, the kind of cars you want, the job you want, and everything, but you won't be happy. If God has put his hand on you to be a ruling priest, you might as well surrender now and get it over with. Because God doesn't give up on people just like that. You probably read The Hound of Heaven, and that's just the way he is. He keeps right after you. You feel, boy, I thought once I got married and I had a nice house and a car and three children and all in private school and everything's perfect and my loving husband, I would be so happy. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with you is that isn't what God called you to. You'll never be happy. I don't care what. Because you see, you represent, each one of you represents probably, what would you say, not even 0.1% of mankind, less than that. All the power is swirling around you, don't know their arm from their elbow. That's an old Dutch expression, yeah. They don't know what's going on, they don't have a clue, they don't know what they're reading in the paper. And God is telling you, now, this is the plan. You're not here by luck, or because it just happened, or because you live near the church, or because you like the people in the church. That isn't the reason you're here. You're here because God has chosen you to understand what life is all about. You say, well, I'm going to live forever. When you're young, you're going to live forever. No, you're not. You're going to die. One of these days, you're going to die. Good news. Well, to die is gain if you're serving the Lord. And if you're not, it's the biggest problem you'll ever have. So do yourself a favor, and when you go home tonight, kneel down by your bed, and after you say, now I lay me down to sleep, say, Father, show me what I'm supposed to be and do before I blow the program. He can understand that kind of talk. After you say, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. And then do rockabye baby and go through all your things. And then get down to business with God and say, I heard what the preacher said and I want to do what I'm supposed to do. Help. Because I'm getting barraged with video games and iPods and Pods Eyes and everything else. And I don't know whether I'm a foot or horseback. In fact, I've done video games so long I can't distinguish fact from virtual reality. Yeah. That's the battle that the young people are having. Do I dare believe in God? Or should I believe in Microsoft? Sandy, you're giving me a baleful look over there. All right. Now, I'm almost through, so relax. Revelation 22. They will see His face. You will see the face of God. Think of it. The throne will be there. And there is the church. The throne of God will be in the hearts of His people. There will be no more night. Well, that is kind of a bummer. I don't know about you, but I like it when night comes because I fall unconscious in a bed. But there'll be no night because you have eternal life. You know, you wonder about this sometimes. Let's say that you're a young man in the spirit world and you have a resurrected body. You won't have big muscles. It would just look nice. You know why? Because power is coming from the Holy Spirit, not from your muscles. You'll have a lot of power. All you need. And you don't have to have muscles to show for it. It's a wonderful world we're coming to. I don't have to worry about our appearance or our muscle tone or anything else. Just obeying Christ. That's all. Just obeying Christ. I'm almost through. Don't give up. Don't give up. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. See, when this was written, they didn't have electricity, so they used lamps. And they will reign forever and ever. And they used sesame oil, they used nut oil, they used olive oil and all kinds of oils to burn in the lamps. They didn't use petroleum until much later. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent His angel to show His servants the things that must soon take place." You know, it's going to be a wonderful thing. Now, don't get off on this, all right? Nobody get off. You know, I'm not starting a new doctrine. But it'd be wonderful to have fellowship with angels. It'd be wonderful. Because these are servants of God. Some of them are just pure talent, like music and mathematics and anything you can think of. And they can talk like human beings, but they don't have souls. See, they're different from us. They're spirits. They're not born of a woman. They're very interesting conversationalists. See this angel talking here? Think of it. It's a person. Has a name. Doesn't tell what his name is, but he has a name. Gabriel has a name. Michael has a name. They all have names. They're not people. They're spirits. And they serve Christ. They love Christ. "Behold, I am coming soon," he said 2,000 years ago. "Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." No other Bible. 119th Psalm tells us that his word is a lamp unto our feet. But no other book is talking about that the words of this book are special. Like that. Revelation is in a class by itself. "I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel that had been showing them to me, but he said, 'Do not do it. Don't fall down and worship me. Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets.'" Now, either he was a person angel or a spirit angel, I don't think it much matters. But he's telling you, don't worship me. "And all who keep the words of this book, worship God." Don't you love it? Yeah, so he's an angel. According to this, it says that he's an angel. "Sent his angel to show his servants. Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near,'" 2,000 years ago, "'let him who does wrong continue to do wrong.'" Now put that one in your pipe. That is contrary to everything else in the scripture. Why? Why the change? Everything else in the scripture is saying, "Let him who does wrong turn and do right." Why does this one say, "Keep on doing the wrong thing"? When you get that right, I'll probably have my red light up here on me.
The transition to death.
Stan is getting to the evil eye. He probably knows, but he doesn't want to show off. Connie's peering at me. Sandy says, I better look at him because otherwise he'll pick me out. Because they have come to the place where God will not accept repentance. And he says, you're confusing the issue. You want to do wrong, keep on doing it. See, like it says, I wish you were cold or hot. You know what the Lord told me about one person? I won't tell you who it is. It's not a person in this church, so don't worry. He never told me about before or after. One person in my entire life. He said, do not show mercy to this person. He said, he has not shown mercy. Don't you show mercy. And my natural tendency is, no matter what anybody does, I feel, you know, kind of gee whiz. You know, let's take another shot at it. And God said, no. No. And that's what this is. God is saying, that person, you know, he that being often reproved hardens his heart shall suddenly be cut off. And that without remedy. So there, you know, we get to think, well, no matter what I do, good old Jesus will come around. There'll come a day when good old Jesus won't come around. He says, I gave you every chance in the book. And you just fooled around, fooled around, fooled around. I didn't die for that. There's no more serious passage in the Bible. Let him see, the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Isn't that awful? Boy, if that doesn't scare you, nothing will. The day will come when God says to you, you want to do wrong? Okay, keep on doing it. I'm sick of this thing. Not awful. But it says, let him who does right continue to do right. And to him who is holy, continue to be holy. Just like Andrew said tonight, don't be discouraged. Keep your courage up high. God will pull you through if you don't quit. Shall we stand? He is able and he shall do it. Lord, we thank you because you are not only the Alpha, but you are the Omega. And Lord, I believe you told me that the stink of America has come up into your nostrils and you are going to act on it. And I say, Lord, praise God. I don't want to see one more child hurt or old person hurt or anybody else hurt. Lord, have mercy on us and see the spoiling of your people as Satan takes advantage of their ignorance. We need help. Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us turn this thing around. Oh, God, help. I know you're going to, Lord. I know you're going to do what you said in Revelation. I know the day will come when we will see your face and when we will be ruling and bringing the blessings of God throughout an earth from which the curse has been lifted. I know it's sure. And I'm thankful for it. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Blessed be your name, Lord. We give glory unto the God of Israel. Hallelujah. You are wonderful, Lord. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Hallelujah. The brilliant future that we have if we will just do what is right. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. The Lord is worthy of honor, worthy of glory. You are true and faithful. True and faithful. True and faithful. Oh, yes, Lord. I pray for all of us on these grounds tonight, Lord. You will not give us a minute's rest until we do your will. Don't give us rest in our confusion, Lord. Guide us. Take what is wrong out of our minds and put in what is right. Have mercy on us, Lord. We want you, not our own way. We want you, not our own way. Praise your name, Lord. You are really great, and we know you hear that prayer, and you have pity on the dust that we are, and you will do it. Oh, you're so wonderful, Lord. So wonderful. So wonderful. Words fail. Words fail, Lord. In your majesty. In your majesty. Oh, hallelujah. In your majesty, Jesus. In your majesty. Oh, hallelujah. With your boys and girls. What you can do that mighty men cannot do. You will do it, Lord, with the little children that have been thrown away like garbage. You will do it. Oh, hallelujah. I praise your name. Praise your name. Oh, God. Your ways are right. They're right, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to say anything more. Christ's presence is here. Go in His presence and enjoy it.